Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I'm excited today. I tell you, I am excited. You see, we need to revive King Campaign Against Poverty. April the 4th will mark the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King, shot down on the balconies of the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee. At times, he had come to Memphis to support the striking sanitation workers, seeking a living wage and a union. Dr. King was focused on organizing a poor people campaign, an effort to bring people together across the land, the lines of race, religion, and region, to call on the country to address the grinding poverty of today. 50 years later, poverty remained unfinished business. In Memphis, according to the authoritative 2017 Memphis poverty fact sheet compiled by Dr. Elaine of the University of Memphis, nearly 27% of the population, more than one in four, is in poverty. A horrifying 45% of children live in poverty. They suffer from inadequate food, health care, insecure housing, and impoverished schools. Poverty has been going up among all races for people over 35 years of age. Unfortunately, in the last years of his life, Dr. Martin Luther King turns his attention to the plague of war, poverty, and continued racial injustice. He understood that the war on poverty had been lost in the jungles of Vietnam. The civil rights movement had successfully eliminated legal segregation and won blacks the right to vote. But now it's time to turn to this unfinished business. We should not let the trauma of his death divorce us from the drama of his life, nor the riots that came in reacting to erasing the agenda that he had put forth for action. At the center of that agenda was a call grounded in economics Bill of Rights that President Franklin D. Roosevelt put forth coming out of the Great Depression and World War II. America, he argued, has come to understand the need for a guaranteed of basic opportunity, the right to jobs, a living wages, the right to health care, to quality public education, to affordable housing, and to secure retirement. Now, 50 years later, we are reviving Dr. Martin Luther King's mission, not simply honoring his memories. In the course of those years, blacks have experienced very little progress and few reversals. Over the last decade, blacks have suffered the ravage of mass incarceration in a racial basis criminal justice system. In 2008, the blacks suffered the largest loss of personal wealth in the mortgage crisis and financial collapse. Schools has been resegregated as neighborhoods had grown more separated by race and class. New voter repression schemes have spread across the country. Gun violence, the largest toll among our poorest neighborhood. Though this life, Martin Luther King remained committed to nonviolence, he sought to build an interracial coalition, openly disagreeing with those who championed black separatism or flirted with violence. He would have been overjoyed at the young men and women organizing the mass protests against gun violence, building a diverse movement, making the connection between the horror of a school shooting in the suburbs and street shooting in our cities. And he would have been thrilled to see his 9-year-old daughter, Yolanda Renee King, rose the crowd with her presence in her words. My grandfather had a dream that his four little children would not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream. That's enough is enough. And this should be a gun-free world, period. Now, as we mark the 50th anniversary of his death, let us resurrect the mission of his life. Memphis Mayor Jim Strickland set the tone when he announced that the city would offer grants to the 14 living strikers from that time. We have the resources. The only question is whether we have a will that would take organizing nonviolent protesters, voter registration, mobilization, and modern-day poor people campaign. We definitely have the resources. Only question is, do we have the will? We will not be silent. And the young leaders at the March for Our Life, that surely is a necessary first step. I tell you, I'm excited today. I had quite a week. I had the opportunity to, last week I spoke about one of the judges in Barron County who had a black young man and a white young man both murdered someone, but the white young man received probation and the black young man received life without the possibility of parole plus 15 years. He said the white child, prison would do him no good. But the black child, he decided that life without the possibility of parole was best for him. Both boys, matter of fact, the white boy was a little bit older than the black kid. They was both 16, I believe, when it happened. And this is a perfect example of what's happening in our world today. People do not realize that racism is alive and well. Let me give you an example here in the city of Benton Harbor. There are still burning crosses and hanging nooses. And the people are silent. The people do not rise up until something happens to them or a member of their family. Then they want you to drop everything they're doing and help them. I remember many times we have marched over there at the courthouse, have 25, 50 people when we should have 1,000. And people just come by and just look rather than try to help or do anything. Then when the first thing they get in trouble, they're calling my home number. They want me to drop everything I'm doing and help them and give them the advice and comfort that they need. We are some amazing people. It's time that we change the way we think and do business. Let me also say this. Some of you out there may know about Lakeland Regional Hospital located in St. Joseph, Michigan. The thing is, you check in, but you don't check out alive. Lakeland Regional Medical Hospital in Barron County, Michigan, the death hospital, that's what I call it. They have no regard for black people. The hospital has the worst care and service for black people in the world. This hospital and doctors are racist. I'm afraid of getting sick and have to go to Lakeland Regional Medical Hospital. The hospital should be investigated as soon as possible. Now, let me say this. Nobody wants to be sick. And nobody wants to be sick and have to go to the hospital. But why do you have to be sick and afraid to go to the hospital? Black people in Barron County. And now let me say Benton Harbor just to be sure that you know that it can't be questioned. There's no way they can question it because this is the truth. I know myself, I told my wife, if I just so happen to get sick, I want her to take me to the next hospital closest, which is 45 minutes and 45 miles away. And Lakeland Hospital is less than a mile from my house, maybe two at the most. I'd rather take a chance going to another hospital rather than be going to Lakeland Hospital, where you check in and you don't check out. People have died from pneumonia there. And that's something that nobody nowadays normally dies from pneumonia. You go in there even with a cold. I believe it's all about body parts. Infants, little babies. There is no such thing as babies just dying. Babies, women have babies and and the doctor somehow break their neck. That's murder. That's what that is. But we don't have the togetherness to stand up to these people. You know, there's over 50 million black people living in this country today. Over 50 million black people. They have diluted us down, divided us up, half of them working on their side against other black people. We got it all right here. Right here in Berrien County, Michigan. We got so many issues here. And really, let me talk about the city council. Our city council have 9 black on that city council. And yet it's controlled by Whirlpool Corporation. Will somebody explain that to me? They won't even pay taxes. But we say it's okay. It's them. We can go to lunch with Whirlpool. That's what these elected officials look forward to. Wow. Only in America. And we want to know why we're in this compromising position. You have to know who you are. I will not sacrifice my children, my friends' children, your children, for these sleazeball corporation gutter rats. I will not do it. And there's nothing you can do to make me. Very, very disappointed in the people we call our people. Who's going to believe it? Wow, amazing grace. But listen, I have a very, very special guest today. I want to bring in, he's my friend. He's my guy. He was on the guy named out of California. He was on the show. He did a tremendous job. He gave him what I call a professional butt whooping. You see, because you have to know when you talk what you're talking about. And this young man knows what he's talking about. And you know, it's a privilege and an honor to bring in my good friend, my good Hebrew brother, my guy, Malik. Malik, are you there?
Yeah, how you doing? How you doing, Akeem?
Okay. Oh, yeah. How you doing, my brother?
To be on the show. Man, I'm blessed, man, and I always would like to salute you on everything that you do for us as our nation, because you really go hard, man. You're a real good example for so many of us, especially the younger generation that's stepping up to step up to the plate to try to fight for our people as well. So I definitely use you as an example for me, and I'm very happy that you're out of jail. I was worried about you when you the whole time you was in there calling your wife ever so often, checking up on you, man. So all praise to the Most High that, you know, the devil didn't win.
That's right. You know, and I appreciate you too, man. I tell you, I watched that the show that you was on the other day. I shared it with my wife, and I shared it with a few other people, and I told them, you know, the way you handled yourself, you know, and you know, I gotta say, you know that horn you got, man, I love that horn.
Yeah.
I love it. I mean,
the guy that blew it, I got him on the show with me too, Pastor. He's on right now too, so I just wanted to bring him.
Well,
up.
Let me thank him also, because whatever you needed, when you said give me a scripture. He had it ready for him, and what you did was so professional that you know that he couldn't say nothing, because normally when you go on the show, he tried to break you down, but he didn't have any facts that could neutralize you and your guy, and I was so proud of you. I tell you, I said, you did such a tremendous job. But here's what I like to hear you tell us what you want us to know today. I want to talk about the, because I'm a Hebrew brother myself, so you definitely put me in there, and I appreciate that. But what I want to do, I want you to, you know, because I know you got a lot of information, and wherever you want to start at, you go right ahead.
Okay. Well, we can actually start with what you was talking about earlier, about all of the things that our people are struggling from. Now, we sit mm-hmm. back and we actually look at our people and how strong we are, right? We are the strongest people on the face of the earth. How do we get to a state of being in a low position where we are hated by every nation? We have done nothing to nobody else. If anything we do, we hurt each other, we don't hurt one another. Mm-hmm. I mean, we hurt each other, we don't hurt no other nations. We never do anything to them. So that was like the first journey that I had to take to find out, you know, who we really are, because we call ourselves African Americans, we call ourselves Black, we call ourselves Negroes, and all of these names are not who we are. We know we came from Africa, but what part of Africa did we come from? And so the Bible has all of these answers. The Bible is a history book. And so now in the Bible, we're the main characters in there. We're the mm-hmm. main characters in the Bible, and what's being implemented right now is that a lot of our pastors is going to theological schools, and they're learning how to teach. They're learning from the other nations to teach us how to read the Bible, and so they're not teaching us that the Bible is like a real history book from Adam and Eve all the way until we are here right now, right? So they're teaching
right.
you that you really ain't in the Bible. You really ain't in mm-hmm. the Bible. We're just reading like a fairy tale book or something, and it's just like an imaginary thing. But we're going to prove today that we're in the Bible. But what we so the Most High chose a special people unto himself above all the people on the face of the earth. Kanakia, can you give me Deuteronomy 7 and 6?
Yes, sir. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Most High thy God. The Most High thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth.
Okay, so we're going to stop right there. The Most High chose a special people above all the people on the face of the earth. And guess what, listeners? It was us.
That's right.
We are those people that he chose, right? So now what happened with him choosing us, and why did he choose us? That's the question. Why did he choose us? Keep reading, Kanakia.
Verse 7. The Most High did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Most High loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Most High brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the land of Pharaoh, king of Egypt.
Okay, now remember. No, that's not right there. Now remember, okay. The children of Israel was chosen by God. It was 12 different nations to create one nation called the 12 tribes of Israel. It was 12
that's
tribes
right.
within one nation, and these people
okay.
are still here. It's not just the Jewish people in Jerusalem. They're lying to us. The Jewish people in Jerusalem are converts who took over our identity when we went into slavery, right?
Mm.
Okay, so
well,
let's
hold
get
it right here.
Deeper.
Wait a minute. Before
uh-huh.
you go on, so you saying that the
mm-hmm.
people that's in Jerusalem or Israel today are not the real people?
They're not the real people. Matter of fact, let's get a scripture on that. Kanakia, go to Genesis
mm-hmm.
chapter 10, right? And
mm-hmm.
go right where it talk about the Khazars, Kanakia. Now, as we know, the Jewish people call themselves Ashkenazi, right? So remember, the Bible is a history book, so you can't run from the Bible. We go to the Bible, the Bible's going to tell you the truth. So let's find out who the Ashkenazi is. Read that, Kanakia.
It's starting at, I'm going to start at verse 2. The sons
okay.
of Japheth, Gomer and Magog, and Madai, and Javan, and Tubal, and Meshech, and Tyrus. And the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, and Rephath, and Togarmah, and the sons of Javan, Elisha, and Tarshish, Kittim, and Dudanim. By these were the isles of the Gentiles.
These were the isles of the who?
The Gentiles.
So Ashkenazi comes from Japheth. He didn't come from Shem. Remember, we got Ham, Shem, and Japheth at the beginning of the flood.
Right.
And they made all the nations on the face of the earth. So if you claim an Ashkenazi, you just killed yourself, because now the Bible tells us that you came from Japheth. You didn't come from Shem, which created Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which created the 12 tribes of Israel.
That's
so
right.
No getting out of that. But it's another one. Let's get Revelations 2 and 9. This is Christ himself telling us that there will be imposters claiming to be us. Let's get that real quick, Tanaka.
Revelations 2, verse 9. I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan.
Okay, so he said that they are the synagogues of Satan. We're going to have people claiming to be Jews, but they're not. They are the synagogues of Satan. You go to Revelation 1.
Hey, before
1,
you, I'm hoping my wife is listening to this, because I tell you, you got me on my toes, brother. Keep talking to me.
All right, Revelation 1 and 15 tells you the description of Christ having woolly hair and his hands and his feet burnt like bread, right? Now we're going to get a little deep. Okay, so now we are the chosen people. I want everybody that's listening right now to imagine that we are the chosen people. And now when we in Jerusalem, picture Christ being a so-called Negro just like you. Picture all of your people being in Jerusalem looking just like us and everybody coming against us at that time, right? Okay, so now what happened? Where did we go wrong and get in a bad state with the Most High? We started worshiping other gods. And we did this.
That's right.
The Most High put us under a punishment, and we're still under this punishment to this very day. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28.
Let me say it before you go to Deuteronomy. Are you saying we are cursed?
Yeah, we're under a punishment right now for 400 years. And matter of fact, just to prove it, let's go to Genesis 15.
Genesis 13:15. For all the land which thou seest, 15:13. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also,
okay, this was a prophecy that Abraham was given about his children in the last days, that they would actually be taken to another land as slaves, and they was going to be afflicted for 400 years. They say that the first slave ship came to America in 1619. We in 2018. We are moving to the 400-year period next year. The Most High is going to stop releasing the curses. So some people say, how are you going to say we are under curses? Everywhere we go in America. We're just going to talk about America because we can't even see our people on the other side. But you drive down the street and you look at your people and see the condition that we're in today. We gangbanging. We're killing each other. We feeding each other poison to get rims on our cars and take care of our family by killing one another. We sitting up here killing one another like it ain't no tomorrow. We got everybody coming against us with our own people coming against us. And you mean to tell me you don't think that this is a curse? Our people are not that lost.
We
just be on our own. Getting that, having this much of a problem, like, well, we can't come together the way we should. Like you were just talking, we have all the resources that we need. All we got to do is come together, but we're not going to come together until we come back to the Most High, until we start keeping His commandments and understanding who we are and the power we possess and who God really truly is. We are not going to come together the way we should. Okay, so now, let's find out what the punishment is. Now, if you read Deuteronomy 28 from 1 to 14, these are all of the blessings that we would have got. But when we broke the commandment, they didn't get punished. We did. We are asking the people that's living the punishment to prove that the Bible was real. This is how deep this is, right? So in the book, it tells you that you're going to come back, you're going to wake up. And when we start waking up and keeping the commandments, that's when Christ's going to break the sky. So guess what? He's waiting on you. So everybody that's listening to this right now, get your Bible out. We're going to prove without a shadow of a doubt that you are one of God's chosen people, not only by the Spirit, but by the blood. Okay, so Deuteronomy 28, verse 15, what did it say?
But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Most High thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee.
Okay, so he said all these curses going to come upon you and overtake you. Let's go to verse 30 real quick.
Verse 30, thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her.
All right, stop right there. Stop right there. So we're going to have wives, and another man is going to have the right to sleep with your wife. So now, if this is pertaining to us, we got to go back in history and see, did this ever happen to us? Because all the curses got to fit. If it doesn't fit, you got to quit, right? Because we got to make sure this
fits. That's right. I'm with you, brother. You go in. Give me my education.
Yeah. All right. So now, when we was in slavery, did not the white man come in and say, "I want to sleep with your wife tonight," and you couldn't do nothing about it?
See it again.
You had to sit here and let the man sleep with your wife, and you sitting outside, and then she come out crying and all beat up and stuff, and you just like, "Okay, baby, you're gonna be all right." We had to do that. All right, read Kanakia.
Thou shalt build an house, and thou shalt not dwell therein.
Okay, we built all of their houses. We built all of their resources. We built America. We built the White House. And we reap none of the benefits from the things that we built. Read.
Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof.
Okay, so now he said you're going to plant a vineyard. So what was our people doing in slavery? Were they not in the fields growing crops?
It was it.
But he said
the
food
field.
That you was growing in the field, you can't even eat. They're going to give you pig head, pig butt, pig ears, pig tail, pig booty, and you're going to eat it all up. That's what you're going to be
Don't forget about the guts.
You ain't going to eat
guts.
That good old food you grow for master. Huh?
Yep.
Okay, that's
going
to verse 32. Let's go to verse 32. Let's get it.
Verse 32. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given into another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thy hand.
So our children was going to be given to another people. When you look up that another people, that means another nationality of people that your children was going to be given to. When we came off those spaceships, they were selling the children at young ages to these people that was pedophiles, molesters, murderers, torturers, to children. Our children used to get ate. They used to feed our children to alligators. They didn't have no sympathy for us.
Yes.
Okay, so now let's get to the nitty-gritty. You ready, Pinkney? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, it's about to go down. All right, so let's go to verse 44.
Verse 44. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail.
Okay, so the real children of Israel are supposed to be at a low state. We're not supposed to be at a high state right now. We're not supposed to be in a position where we can lend to other nations. Everybody lending to us. Okay, jump down to 46.
46, and they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder and upon thy seed forever.
This verse right here is very important. These curses that we're reading are a sign and a wonder.
So if we was ever trying to figure out who the children of Israel are, who the real Jews are, we were supposed to go back to the curses to identify who they are. Remember, Christ is coming back to save the children of Israel from something. The other the Jewish people was already in Jerusalem living good. What are you coming back to save them from? Riches? No. He's going to save his people from the four corners of the earth. Let's keep going. What does the next verse say?
Because thou servest not the Most High thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Most High shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness. And
okay,
in
so
we're going
to be hungry, thirsty, butt naked, and then what?
And in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee.
Wow. Remember, these curses are a sign to identify who God's people are. Did we not have yokes of iron on our necks when we came off the ships?
Yes. Yes,
the
we
transatlantic
did.
Slave trade, the transatlantic slave trade was to the four corners of the world. We didn't just come to America. We went all over the world as slaves. All right, keep going, Kanaka.
The Most High shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand.
So the Most High was going to bring a nation against us, and it was going to come from the ends of the earth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. We weren't speaking English when we came here.
No.
We were speaking Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
We used to sing songs like Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya. When you sing Kumbaya, you know that you're actually speaking Paleo Hebrew, the most ancient Hebrew that's the end on the existence of the planet. How was the slaves singing these songs? These slaves was the children of Israel. They were singing songs about going back to Zion. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming back to carry me home. All of these songs was songs about us going back to our land. All right, verse 50.
Verse 50. A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of old, nor show favor to the young.
He wasn't going to show no favor to the young or the old. Remember, our children was getting ate by alligators to use us as bait so they can make shoes and purses. They didn't care if he was 100 years old. You're going to get out there and pick that cotton. It ain't no getting out of it. Let's go to verse 64.
Verse 64. And the Most High shall scatter thee among all people, from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone.
So he said, we're going to get scattered to the four corners of the earth. The Jewish people was in the Holocaust. That didn't happen on the four corners of the earth. They never had yokes of iron on their necks. That was the only bad thing that they can ever, that we can go back in history and find that happened to them. And then if you go back into the documents of Hitler himself, Hitler said that these people was imposters. These people wasn't the real people of God. He said the real people of God are black. I got his book at my house. Let's go to verse 68, and we gonna fill it up with this one, Pastor Tingney. If they don't get it after this, they don't want it.
Verse 68. And the Most High shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships by the way.
Okay, that's all right there. The word Egypt means bondage. He says, so I shall bring you into a bondage again with what?
With ships.
With what?
With ships.
We came over here in ships. Read.
By the way whereof I spake unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again, and there you shall be sold unto your enemies for bond men and bond women, and no man shall buy you.
Okay, so we're going to be sold as male and female slaves, and no man shall buy you. The word buy in Hebrew means save or redeem. Couldn't nobody save us out of that captivity. we had to go through the things that we're going through. So the Most High has he's sending down a message to everybody. He's trying to send down the signal. He's trying to get the people the calling. It's a calling going forth. He said the gospel got to get preached to the four corners of the earth. Christ is coming back. You got to believe in baptism. You got to believe in the Holy Spirit. You got to believe then in anointing. You got to believe in all these things for Christ to even want to deal with you. But if you have no idea who you are in this book, you are missing so much of what the Most High has to offer for you. Because when you start walking in his light, in his glory, in his commandments, the Most High is going to take you to another level of understanding. Everybody say, oh, I know God. You can't tell me nothing. You woo woo woo. But we can, the Most High have so much knowledge, and we can get a knowledge from an ant. We can get knowledge from a bird. We can get knowledge from a child. So that's why we always got to keep our doors open so the Most High can keep elevating us to higher levels in this knowledge. So this is how you are Hebrew Israelite, because we are under the curses of Deuteronomy 28, and the Most High is about to release those curses, and he's going to redeem his people and take them to a higher level. All praise to the Most High.
Wow. All praise to the Most High. I tell you, that is amazing. So now I understand why this judge sent me to prison for quoting Deuteronomy 15 through 64. Because he thought, he's supposed to be Jewish. And you said, I'm just figuring that out. Deuteronomy.
Yeah, because remember when I met you, when I came out there and I was preaching in your town and I ended up meeting you, you told me that you went to Deuteronomy 28 and you gave it to the judge and he got real mad. And I was trying to explain it to you at that time how powerful it was that you used those particular verses. That was the Most High really working with you. And the judge,
absolutely,
he got mad because in his spirit, he knew what that meant.
Right, because he's supposed to be Jewish. And here's another thing. Here's something else I get out of this teaching you just did. I remember Hitler was saying that they was not the real Jews. They just got that title Jewish because they're converted Jews. He said something of that level that he was talking about, that they wasn't the real Jews. But I never really paid a lot of attention to that until you came up with, and also with me quoting Deuteronomy 28, starting with the 15th verse, now it's beginning to add up, because he knew
now,
that's
Hitler,
why it's such a threat.
Hitler really, I'm going to try to quote it as clearly as I remember it. He said that America will be destroyed by God because they didn't touch the jewels of the Most High God, meaning us. He said we are the Most High's jewels. You know what I'm saying? So Hitler was putting it out there. He know all that we got leaders over in other countries letting it be known that they know that the children of Israel are not the people that's over there. We got people in Africa right now starting to realize that they were the children of Israel. Not all, because this is where they're getting us at. All black people are not the same. Because remember, we have Hamites, that they are considered Africans, and then we got Shemites that are considered Hebrew Israelites. For example, the Egyptians was black, but so was Joseph. So was Moses. So was Christ. When Christ was born, an angel came and told Joseph to take him and hide him in Egypt. Why would he go hide in Egypt? Because that's where all of us look like. They look just like us, but we was different.
Wow, amazing. And
Acts chapter 13.
Now,
Acts chapter 13, he called Barnabas and Simeon Niger. Niger means black.
Black,
so,
Now, this
is the story. This is the story. In 70 A.D., they took down Jerusalem. The children of Israel, all black at that time, ran into Africa, and we ran into a place called Niger. Niger is another word for black, right? So when the slave master came and he was trying to get all of the children of Israel from that land, he was like, get that Niger. get that Niger turned into nigger. So when they call you a nigger, they're really trying to say Niger. But that's that's where we come from. Now, when the Spaniards came to that land and tried to get us, how do you say black in Spanish, Pastor Pinky?
Was Negro or something?
Yep, there you go. Negro.
Yeah.
Do they
not
call us Negroes?
Mm-hmm.
All of the people that came from that land, that's where that name came from. And so everybody that's listening right now, you can go online, go to Google and go to images and type in Negro land. And then when you look at this map, it's right by Ghana, west part of Africa. And when you look on Benjamin, Levi, because these are the true people of God. Before, when they were selling us as slaves, they didn't say black people for sale. They were saying Hebos for sale. They were saying
Hebos. I heard that. I just heard that recently. Yeah. I heard somebody say Hebos just recently. I don't know whether I was on the internet. I heard somebody just say that. Huh.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Man,
and
it's important, man, because it's a... Go ahead.
It's amazing how when you sit down and think about Hitler and how Hitler was saying that, but we kick it to the side or kick it to the curb, saying, he's just saying that. But now I understand, because when I quoted Deuteronomy 28, starting with the 15th verse, and this guy was Jewish, he knew exactly what I was saying. Wow.
Yeah. And so basically what's going on right now is the Most High is to wake up out of this deep sleep. So slavery was actually a punishment from the Most High himself, because we was disobedient. Our ancestors was disobedient. So it carried down all the way to us, and we still getting punished right now to this day. And the only reason why we got punished, because he gave the commandments to us. We were supposed to show the whole serve the Most High. But since we didn't do that, the whole world has fallen. This is why the world is in the situation that it's in right now, is because the Most High's people fell out of the grace of the Most High. But we can come back, and we can start serving the Most High the way he wants us to, start keeping his commandments, his statutes, and laws. And then now I know we got people saying, oh, man, you ain't supposed to keep no commandments, right? Because they don't understand Paul's writings. Paul never said not to keep the law. The law that he was talking about was the law of sin and death, right? He said that is done away with. The law of sin and death is this, Pastor Penny. Like, if I was to break the Sabbath back in the day, they were supposed to stone me and hang me on a tree. But Christ came and he redeemed us from that. So, because Christ took the death for us, and then he also... He took the death for us so we wouldn't have to die. And then he also, he became our sacrifice, and he became that lamb that we don't have to sacrifice anything. We don't have to get murdered for not keeping the commandments. Now it's about you coming and you getting that little grace period. The grace period only allows you to have it until you come into the knowledge of the truth. When you're in the truth, you are held accountable for what you do. Some people just think I can just keep on sinning. The Most High ain't going to do nothing. He going to do something. You go to hell for not keeping the law. Sin is transgression of the law. And then somebody might say, well, it's only two laws that fulfill the whole law. Love the Most High with all your heart, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Moses had two tablets in his hand?
Yeah.
One tablet was about how do you love the Most High. Tablet was love thy neighbor as thyself. Let me get you one scripture on this, because I just want to make sure I'm moving in the spirit right now, because I want to make sure that everybody get this. Let's go to Romans 13. I mean 8 and 13.
Romans 8 verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die.
I'm sorry. 13 and 8. My bad.
13 and 8. Romans 13 and 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law.
Uh-huh.
For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Okay, so Pinkney, did you get that?
Love thy
oh,
neighbor
absolutely.
As thyself means
thyself. Mm-hmm.
Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not
right.
kill, thou shalt not mm-hmm. steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. That's what loving thy neighbor as thyself means. How do we love the Most High with all of our heart? We're not going to bow down to no other God. We're not going to make no graven images. We're not going to take his name in vain. And we're going to keep the Sabbath day holy. That's how you love the Most High. Everything
wow.
with the Most High is an action. We don't want to be sitting up here saying you love him, but then your actions show that you don't. He wants you to prove it by keeping his commandments. So all praise to the Most High, Pinkney. I hope the people are getting it out there because this is
well, you know, they got to get it because, hey, I got it. So you know, if they got, but listen, I got a Hebrew brother on the line. I'm gonna let him join
okay.
our conversation. All right.
All right.
Shalom, my brother.
How you doing?
Yeah. Shalom, how you doing?
Happy New Year, Hakiz, and all everybody out there. You had told out for bringing this truth to us through Reverend Pinkney today. I mean, Pastor Pinkney has been an enlightenment for Benton Harbor, and he was on radio here in Chicago today, so he's enlightening the world also. But
man, all praise to the Most High, Hakiz. All praise.
Okay, absolutely. The and since you're on the scriptures, Genesis. 15th chapter, 13th verse. Does that also apply that the Most High knew in the beginning? This is in the beginning. What our plight would be?
Oh yeah,
Genesis.
Yeah, the Most High.
Genesis
knows,
15th
knows.
Chapter, 13th verse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now remember,
can you go to that?
I don't know if you go into. Have you ever heard of Abraham's apocalypse?
You
ever
absolutely.
Read that before? Okay,
no,
so
I have
he
not.
Took Abraham all the way to the end of time. See, you know,
right, he did in the beginning.
Yep.
Right.
So he knew in the beginning.
In the beginning, absolutely, right. And the 15th chapter, 13th verse, it said, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And then the 14th, and also that nation whom they shall serve, I will judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance.
All praise to the Most High.
All praise.
That's right. He said that's what's happening right now with America.
Right.
America
that's
is
right.
it's falling, and it can't get up,
that's right.
and it's about to get judged. And everybody
that's right.
that hold on to this place, you in trouble.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Man, all praise. I'm glad you brought that out.
Mm-hmm.
Tell that my brother to you.
Yeah, right. Yeah. See, I know Robert, he's also a Hebrew man also. So, you know what you have done today is so amazing. I can't get over it. I never saw how this guy saw this as a threat on his life. And his wife's life, his children's life.
Yeah, just for the people that's listening.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the people that's listening, I was going to tell them it's called The Fallen. That's the name of the show. Mm-hmm. It's called The Fallen. Hebrew is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen that.
And also, it's Jesse Lee Peterson, I believe. That's the guy. So if anybody want to check it out. It's on that show.
Oh,
and we also have a website called CaliforniaHebrews.com.
Right.
Huh?
That's the show you was on, which is so amazing.
Yep, yep.
Wow, I tell you, I like I said earlier, I could not figure out how this guy said that this was a threat on his life. I couldn't figure it out. I said, he must be a real coward, you know, to say something like that.
Man.
But now, what you have done today, you have broken down to now I know what happened. You see,
you cursed
and,
him.
And, right. That's what he's afraid of.
Right.
Amazing. I tell you, I'm my Hebrew brothers, I love y'all, man. Y'all just been tremendous. And look, I gotta get one of them horns. You know I gotta get a horn. So next time
you know, absolutely.
But
yeah,
if I get the horn, you gotta come to the blowing the trumpets though.
Yeah,
I just can't have you having a horn and you ain't gonna blow it.
I'll blow it. My wife will blow it. We'll blow it. You just get it. I tell you, my brother,
right.
I am so excited. You know, it's very interesting. You know, the conversation today. I know we got a full house on the land, but I am just so intrigued because I got me an education today that I will never forget. Because now I understand what happened to me, how this thing came about. I had no idea that Deuteronomy actually meant that. I was thinking that if he didn't just hearken to the Lord thy God and do all the things that was right. But it's deeper than that. You know, we took it to a whole different level. Man, amazing.
See,
man,
the judge knew it, but you didn't. The judge knew it. The judge knew exactly
right.
What. That's
that
worse than you calling him a son of a bee.
Yeah, right. 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 You know, and that's what he. See, that's why he picked that scripture out. And
right.
And he attacked on that scripture and that scripture alone. And I kept wondering how could. See, but then we had a scholar to come in. And he couldn't. He didn't even say what you have told me today.
Right. They don't want you to know. Go ahead.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
But he was my cop. He was there for me. He was an expert for me.
Okay.
Yeah, I tell you, amazing. But Robert, I know you might have something else you want to talk about. Is there anything else you need to say right now? Because I do. Like you always talk about the Kerner report. Listeners, you know, to me, they need to know that information because there's so many of us who don't read. And when you don't read, you don't have the information. And what my Hebrew brothers have done today, I'm excited about it. And I know that this is going to just lead to a whole different level. And everybody listening,
go ahead.
Everybody listening, really, 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 I believe they all, I'm going to be getting emails and calls from people about this subject. and I know how they act. Last week I talked about this young man, young man that the two of them, white boy and the black boy, both killed somebody. The white boy said prison would do him no good and gave him probation and gave the black boy life in prison without the possibility of parole plus 15 years. And he was young. And when I went over to the courthouse, I ran into they all be listening. They listening to your show, believe me, my brother. They listen. They listen to every word we say. And the guy told me, he said, well, It could have been, he said, this is what he said. He didn't say it was. He said it could have been a different circumstance. I said, yeah, it was a different circumstance. I said, the white boy went out and told his friend he was going to go in there and beat his stepfather to death. That's premeditated. And he said,
first degree, as they put it.
That's what I was telling him. And he, we debated about it. But now I want to hear what he may have to say tomorrow. So I'm excited. I'm thrilled because you said some things that I didn't. Tell me
what did you say, Piggy?
I said tell us what you want to talk about. You got a few minutes left that you could talk about something. Tell us something.
Okay, I kind of wanted to let everybody know that we have a website called CaliforniaHebrews.com that they can go check out. We also have a magazine out right now called QYM, and it's nothing but beautiful people all over the world that know that they're Hebrew Israelites. They have their businesses in there. We have women showing the beauty of wearing the head wraps and their fringes, and it's a beautiful magazine. You can purchase it at qym-mag.com. Once again, that's QYM, the little dash, MAG.com, and you guys can get it. And, you know, and if you need any questions, any pastors out there that want to sit down and go through the scriptures, I'm the one to talk to. You know, I'm here. My door is always open. We don't have to make it a no debate or anything unless you want to. Our job is to make sure that we give the people what the Most High has been showing us, because we're going to another level. You know what I'm saying? The churches, a lot of these churches right now is getting exposed. The pastors, the Most High is uncovering them and showing them who they really are. They're having sex with women in the churches and being homosexuals and stuff. And this is all by the power of the Most High, because he's trying to show you that we have to get on a different movement. And the movement that we need to be on is keeping these commandments. Because when we start keeping these commandments, I'm telling you people, the Most High will start blessing you abundantly. And we have such a beautiful heritage. You know, our heritage is so beautiful. Yes, we just came out of Passover. We don't do Easter. We do Passover. Passover is something that you do at nighttime. You don't do it in the daytime. You're doing Easter sunrise service. And this is see, what they have done, the devil is so tricky, what he has done, that everything that's holy that the Most High made, he made something to counteract it to be evil. A bunny rabbit does not lay eggs. This is a fertility god that everybody is worshiping on the first day of the week. You know, so we got Passover. We got, like the brother, when you heard him say, we end the new year, he wasn't talking about the new year of January the 1st. The new year of spring. Spring starts the new year. And so these are the things that we need to learn by going through the Bible. And the Most High is going to show you so much when you start getting in this word. He's going to start revealing it to you just like he revealed it to all of us. So I'm just honored to be able to be on the show. And I thank Mr. Pinkney for having me on the show to be able to give you this, because this is my job, is to be able to give you this information. And so that's all I got to say right at this moment.
And that's amazing. That's amazing. And Robert, you know, you can go ahead and close it out for us, Robert, because I appreciate you coming on, and you always there, and you get a chance to meet my Hebrew brothers, and I tell you, we're going to be taking this stuff to a whole different level. And I just appreciate you, Robert. I appreciate you, Malik. You know, these are my brothers, you know. So go ahead. I know you can get a chance to say a whole lot today, Robert, but say anything. I don't care what it is.
Oh, no. This brother Malik has said everything. I mean, he's been going through the scriptures, enlightening the masses, and that's what we need, and that's what's coming. It's coming without fail. And you mentioned the Colonel.
Hi?
No, I'm saying Pinky be messing up our name, so I don't want everybody thinking my name Malik. It's Malak. I'm sorry,
Malak. Okay.
I got you.
Okay, Malak.
Malak. I got you, Malak.
Where in California
where
are you, Malak?
I know. Malak, I know where you live.
I'm in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
I'm in Los Angeles. Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah, I'm here in Chicago, and I've been
to
Kentucky with the. We shall, brother. I've been to Kentucky with the Watchmen. We were baptized down there about 3 years ago, going on 4 years now.
Oh, okay. All
right. Right. And there were some Hebrews from California who came there also. Sister, I don't believe they're in L.A., but they're close to you. But anyway, we'll talk about it. You'll be on again, and I know it's closing time for Pastor Pinkney, and we will catch on some. In fact, I'll get your information, your contact information, and I'm going to go on the website and pull up that magazine and get that information from that
all
also.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And I just want to close out the show and let everybody understand that here in the city of Benton Harbor, the fight continues, and And we're going to continue to fight. We're going to make sure that Lakeland Regional Hospital in St. Joseph, Michigan, where people check in and don't check out, and we're gonna put them on the carpet. We're going to make sure that we have a conversation with them and make sure they do what they're supposed to do. But there's strength in numbers. That's what we need here to fight these devils, because that's exactly what they are. They are devil. But listen, I want to thank everybody for being on the show, but we have just ran out of time. Everybody have a very, very nice day, and I will talk to you all very soon. God bless you. God keep you. And we will talk soon. Bye now.
Shalom.